Welcome to JW Community Podcast, where my mum is basically just blabbering on about nonsense.
Thank you, fam.
Hello and welcome to another JW Community Podcast. We've got a really difficult, useful, fascinating person to interview today. But first I'll introduce Lara. Hi, Lara, how are you?
Hi, Louise. I'm very well, thank you. And I've just returned from Sydney and Canberra, where we met up with some groups and telling them about the Jehovah's Witnesses injustice. And a couple of the people, I think, just company friends, let them know that we heard them. And so today I would like to introduce to you Manon Boyer. And we got introduced to Manon by Alexandra James of JW Victims. And she organises a day called Watchtower Victims Memorial Day. And you can look that up on her site, Watchtower Victims Memorial Day. And the reason why I'm mentioning that site and that day is because it's to honour anyone who has died as a result of Watchtower practices and policies. And so, hello, Manon. Good morning.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
I'm okay. And you?
Oh, we're well, thank you. I'm well. How about you, Louise? How are you today?
I've had the most... It's the end of the day here in the UK. So I should say we're recording in Canada, Australia and the UK. And I'm in the UK and it's the end of the day. We've had the most beautiful day today of sunshine and warmth. So yes, I am very well. Thank you.
Manon, let me ask you a question. So you are you're French-Canadian.
Yes.
And you are the aunt of Eloise Depew. And we know Eloise because her story of her recent death was in the paper and reported by Alexandra James and others as well. And in the last week, I've been moved by about three people who have been affected by the blood transfusion issue, but you have been affected much more than most. So I'm very interested in hearing from you about your niece. And specifically, I'd like you to tell everyone what you remember about your niece as she was growing up. Can you tell us a bit about the person who was Eloise, please?
Yes, for sure. She was the most beautiful and nicest girl I never knew in my life. She always had a big smile. His eyes was blue, like I never saw that in my life. She was always cute, smiling, happy all the time. I never saw her one time in my life when she didn't have a smile. She was the nicest girl in the world. And since she's 5 years, she wants five children. She was in love with the baby, with the children. Mm-hmm. So everybody who knew her, who met her, everybody wants to be a friend of her. Everybody, everywhere. She was a funny girl. She was smart. She was the biggest loving woman in the world, I think. That's why it's so terrible that things happened to her. She didn't deserve that, for sure. Mm. She was waiting for many years to have children. And the week before she died, she tells me, you know, my aunt, she was calling me Tante Manon. This week, I'm going to have the dream of my life in my arms. I can't wait.
Because she was pregnant with her baby.
Yeah.
That's why it was, yeah. So it must have been such a happy time, such a joy for you to watch her fulfill her life's dream.
Yeah, for sure. And she was married before this marriage. She was with a Jehovah Witness, for sure. And the guy had 32 or 34 years, and he had three children. She was in love with those children. But after 7 or 8 months, he started punching her. So she calls me and she said, ma tante, I want a divorce. He's not nice with me. He's fucking around everywhere. He's sleeping with the other woman. So I want a divorce. So I get my friend's lawyer, and a couple of days after she was out of there, and her father sent her somewhere because it's not nice when you're a Jehovah Witness to divorce.
Mm.
And they get her away from me, from my daughter, from her friend, from everybody was around her. And then she met the guy, and I don't remember, but 1 or 2 weeks after the first time they met together, he asked her to marry him. So the guy had 27 years. He never kissed a girl on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And a year after, she get pregnant for her first child. And under her first wedding, the honeymoon was an horror. She was crying for 2 weeks. It was bad, this first husband for her. It was very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And with the next one, she was happy, but she was far from me, from family, from anybody was around her. So we talked together maybe each day, but we didn't saw her like before. And before, she was leaving at 20 minutes from my house. So she married this guy. We went to the wedding, and like I say, a year after she was pregnant, and she called me the first one. She didn't tell her mother or father. She called me the first one to tell me it's gonna be a boy, because I'm good in that, to say if it's a boy or a girl. And she can wait to have another one just for me to say if it's a boy or a girl.
Mm.
poor Eloise. So she put three pairs of a slipper, her slipper, her husband's slipper, and in the middle, white slipper, the small one. And white, it's for, we don't know what, if it's a boy, if it's going to be a boy or a girl. And she called me and she said, it's going to be a boy. So I put on Facebook, I'm very happy, it's going to be a boy. She called me, you can say that because you're the first one, nobody knows about that, just you. So, and his name is Liam, and he's mm-hmm. nine. Is 19 months today. She never, she never give a kiss to her baby. She never handled him.
No.
It's horrible. It's, they look at her for 7 days when she was dying. She was sequestered. Because all the stuff start at the house of birth. And the day before, I was talking to her and I asked her, where are you gonna have your baby and this and that? And she tells me at the house of birth, in this area. And I said, may, if you have a problem, but I didn't think about blood. I really don't think about blood.
Mm.
And she said, oh, it's not too far of the hospital. And she was 33 hours on the labor. And then the thing goes bad. So they sent her at the hospital with an ambulance. And they wait another 14 hours to try she have a baby, and the things goes bad, and then they made a surgery to take off the baby, and then the things goes morally bad, and then she got another one surgery, and when she's wake up just a bit, and they tell her she's not gonna have any more baby. She said, she write on the board because she can speak. She write on the board, oh, it's okay, we can adopt. Yeah. So she's not willing to die. She's not in this mood. It's impossible. When you want to adopt a baby, it's because you don't think you're going to die.
Manon, can I wind back a little bit? Was Eloise always a Jehovah's Witness? Was she born into...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. When she was born, her father and mother was a Jehovah's Witness since 1 or 2 years.
Right. Yes. And so obviously she must have been a very loyal Jehovah's Witness to stick to this particular doctrine, even in the worst circumstances.
Yeah, maybe. And his father is an elder. So she can say yes, for sure. She doesn't have the choice to say yes. Everybody who wasn't Jehovah Witness came in her hospital room. So nobody, I sent 3 friends of her the night when she died. And the nurse came to the 3 girls and said, I can't say that to you. I'm not allowed to say that, but she's waking up. She's there. And she said, I'm scared to die. If she was scared to die, it's because she didn't think she was for dying. I don't know if I'm clear, but if you want to adopt a baby, it's because you, and even that's right. And even she said she write to her husband, the doctor, they don't sure I'm gonna live. So they tell the Jehovah's Witness tell the doctor are no good, are not, they are Satan, they are evils. So how can a doctor in 5 minutes or 10 or maybe 20 minutes can make the mind change of somebody who was 26 years telling the lies and the doctrine are, if you take blood, you're going to be this, you're not going to have a paradis éternel. So, and even more, if the doctor, I made my own team for that battle. And I have a doctor with me. And I ask him, do you know why they don't want blood? He said, no, I don't know. So if the doctor say it's because, like the Jehovah's Witness says, if you take blood from somebody, you're going to have his personality. It's crazy. So, so if it's a bum, you're gonna be a bum. If it's the blood from the raped guy, you're gonna rape everybody. But the doctor, they don't know that. So they can say it's not true. You know what I mean? They don't know. They just know the Jehovah's Witness doesn't take blood, but they don't know why. I'm sure at more than 200%, if I was there, Eloise has take blood. I'm sure about that. My daughters say the same thing. Her three girlfriends say the same thing. And if she got two big surgery in less than 2 days, she get, I don't know how to say it, but you're sleeping when you get the surgery. Yes. So she didn't have her head.
She wasn't able to think straight because she'd had two major surgeries where she'd been sedated.
Yes, exactly. And her I don't know how to say, hemoglobin, you know, the globule red in the blood? Yeah. She was at 18. She was supposed to be in between 120 and 170. Mm-hmm. She was at 18. Under 60, you're not there. You don't even know your name. She was at 18. It's incredible. The doctor I have in my team, he said she can even don't remember her phone number. How could she?
Manon, you weren't there, were you? Why weren't you there? You weren't allowed to be there, or the timing wasn't right? Why weren't you there at that time?
I don't went there. Her three girlfriends, me, I found out the day before she died. And I said to my daughter, when you finish at work, you're going to find where is your cousin. Mm-hmm. Because I found something weird, but I didn't know what. And I say to my daughter, those Jehovah Witness with the blood, maybe it's there's something wrong. And my daughter makes some search when she's back home. And we had on the Eloise Facebook a word like the things doesn't go well, but she's still with Jehovah. She's strong, and Jehovah is gonna make everything all right.
So you were finding out about her health over social media, but you hadn't been invited, it sounds like. So you were looking forward to seeing the baby and assuming everything will be okay. Is that right?
Oh, no, I can hear you. I don't understand.
Oh, sorry. You weren't at the birth, or you heard about her being in labor. You heard about that through social media.
Yeah, I write to the corner of my kitchen table, stay strong, Eloise, and tomorrow I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna do something for you. But I didn't know it was at some hour of her death. I didn't know that.
Mm.
And the next day, her three girlfriends called me, and they say we're going to go there. But it's at 2.5 hours from here. Are you coming with us? So I tell to the three girlfriends of Eloise, no, I cannot go. So I'm let you go and give me some news. So they called me. We're going to be there in the 2 hours. And then 1 hour, we are there. We are on the where is Eloise? And they tell me the nurse came to say, she's wake up, and she say, I don't want to die. I'm scared to die. Mm-hmm. And they can see her. And 10 minutes after she died. So her father let the three girls after that, when she was die, they let the three girls to see her. She was a big, more than two times like usually, because every every organ in her stopped running. And she was plugged from everywhere for the breed, for the forever, everywhere. So they can see her once she was dying. She was dying.
Manon, was it a normal pregnancy? Was it an uncomplicated pregnancy?
No, I think everything, once she was pregnant, everything looked good, but I don't know. I think they can't try to delivery in the house of birth, because if she was at the hospital at the beginning, maybe this mess doesn't happen. Maybe she doesn't have, I don't know what she has, but maybe she doesn't need blood.
She could have had more immediate attention if she'd had the baby in the hospital.
Yeah, so exactly.
This was very unexpected then, wasn't it? It came as a shock. It wasn't that you were always thinking the blood issue might be a problem when she has a baby. It was a big shock at the end, was it?
Yeah, it was a big shock. And some Jehovah Witness put a word on his wall on Facebook. Eloise, she died, but she's going to be with her children in 1,000 years. So nobody have to cry.
How do you feel about that comment?
Oh, they are crazy, those people. It's 19 months, and even each day I can imagine she's dying. I can explain. I can feel how her mother, her father can let her die. Look at her dying for 7 days. We don't talk about 1 or 2 hours, or maybe, like I said to my daughter, if it was a car accident and you go to the hospital, she don't want the blood, and she died. It's quick. It's not okay, but it's not the same thing.
You don't have a lot of time to think about the decisions, whereas her parents had 7 days to say, this is silly. We couldn't stop this. We can change this.
And exactly. But like that, I can. And like I worked to her the day before, I'm going to do everything for take you out of there. So she's not here anymore. I can do nothing for her, but I'm going to do everything I can until I die for not having another one, Eloise. Her baby never saw his mother. A poor baby, and more than that, is in jail like Eloise was.
Yeah.
Is a Jehovah Witness with his father, with the mother and the father of Eloise. They are all there to take care of the baby. I never saw the baby.
You still haven't seen the baby, Manon. You haven't met the baby.
No, I never met the baby. I had some picture. I had some picture, but I don't have a picture since 15 months or something like that, because they don't bring him outside. They are scared about me, about the journalists or newspaper or television or everything. So I'm going to do everything I can. Because she didn't have to die like this we are in 2018. And since 50 years, there's a 50,000 people who die like this. Six days before Eloise, there's another one woman here in Montreal who died. She was giving birth of her sixth baby.
Goodness.
Sixth baby, they don't have a mother anymore.
Yeah. Was she a Jehovah's Witness as well?
Yeah.
Right, my goodness.
Manon, did her husband, Eloise's second husband, because just to go back a little bit, you mentioned that she was married at the start and then that didn't work out because he was abusive. Was that first husband a Jehovah's Witness as well or not?
The first one, he was a Jehovah's Witness.
He was. She found the second husband and he was a nice guy. He was also a Jehovah's Witness, but as you said, he'd never been kissed on the cheek. So I guess he was a nice guy, a gentle guy, a shyer guy, and she found happiness with him, and he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
So
and she was.
Did you have a relationship with her second husband?
Not really.
No.
Not really. Okay. I met him at the wedding. That's all.
But he was a nice guy. But he hasn't let you see. He has not allowed you to see the child.
Yeah, right? But he say at the beginning, he's not comfortable with the baby. Poor baby. He doesn't have a mother, and his father is not better. Excuse me, but it's true. It's true. And even the grandmother, Eloise's mother, she said, his heart a bit the baby because he's not sleeping all the time. Oh, it's a baby. He doesn't have his mother. She never kissed her baby. Mm. So, for sure, the mother, the Eloise's mother was, is not a good baby. Hello?
Yes.
Poor baby.
Yeah, he possibly might not be getting his emotional needs met.
For sure.
Manon, in those 7 days when Eloise was in hospital, do you feel that people who weren't Jehovah's Witnesses were kept away from her, that she was just surrounded by her husband, who was an elder?
I know because I had some information from the nurse, from a doctor, from another one mother who was in the same room of Eloise. And I know they had, we call that police du sang, comité de liaison des hôpitaux.
Yes, the hospital liaison committee.
Yes, they are there, and nobody who wasn't Jehovah Witness can come in the room. They are, another one, I don't know who is it, they called him the Grand Manitou, like the big boss of Jehovah. And he was there too, and the personnel at the hospital called him the guy with the suit, with the bow tie and this and that. So she was with those people. They don't know her.
But they're there in her room.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of men, I think, to be in a room with a woman that's just had her first baby.
Yeah.
I would suggest, personally, when I had my babies, I didn't want any men near me, including the fathers, because I felt it's a really old fashioned view, and I am a little bit old fashioned like that, but I do think it's having childbirth, I think is very private. You go really into yourself to give birth, and to then have 3 or 4 men that you don't know that are the hospital liaison committee, plus your husband, plus your father. That's a lot of men.
A lot of pressure. For you.
Pressure. I can't imagine any person who is ill.
And she have two, some woman, Jehovah Witness, for sure. One of these sent me email of stop say things that's not right. I was there since her first time at the hospital until at her last heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So if she was there all the time, Eloise was never alone with
never
the doctor.
Never alone, never able to think what she wanted, sedated, low hemoglobin, and a room full of men who are, frankly, like policemen of your religion. So she never would have had a chance to maybe even say the thoughts that were in her, apart from when she said to the nurse she didn't want to die. She was scared to die.
Yeah, because I can understand how come she never called me or sent me just a email for I'm okay, I quit. So it's because she didn't have her phone, her cell phone. She was sequestered. Nothing more than that. She was sequestered. She can do nothing. She can think nothing. And even in the coroner report, the coroner said the doctor asked to her mother if she can have blood. Her father is an elder. Is a guy who doesn't, I don't know what to say. It's a guy who held the pedophile.
Right.
So, I do you think he's gonna say yes, give her a blood? Right. For sure, no. Because if she say yes, he loses his job.
Yeah, exactly so, yes.
He loses face. He loses everything. So,
of course. So he can't say yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and obviously a husband wouldn't. And it is my understanding that Jehovah's Witnesses, when they are not being closely monitored like that, have accepted blood secretly. That is my understanding in some cases. And of course, if they make sure that you are constantly surrounded by people, that is part of the control to stop you doing that, to stop you saying. But it's infeasible to me that in the 21st century that a doctor would not insist on speaking to a patient on her own without this.
Yeah, it's supposed to be by the law, the doctor has to be with the patient alone. But I'm sure it's not what happens over there. I'm sure. And I asked to my friend.
Manon, you asked before, because Louise has just mentioned, that it's often people take the blood when people aren't around. So for example, I have heard stories that people having a blood transfusion at midnight when all of the family and elders and so on aren't there. That does happen. But Louise happens to have done a video, which is on YouTube, about blood. And you asked earlier, why do they do that? There is a reason. There is a doctrine, like a religious doctrine, behind why they don't take blood. But that has changed. So, previously when I was a Jehovah's Witness 25 years ago, you weren't allowed to have any blood transfusion. But now you can have fractions. And Louise has actually done a YouTube video about that.
Yeah, but it's not true. The fraction, like you say, it's not true. It's a big story of Jehovah Witness of the Watchtower, because nothing can be better than blood if you need blood. There's nothing in the Watchtower say you can take a substitute. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's not true. It's false. Doesn't exist.
Right. Yes.
So they made that on the all of book and everything, but it's not true. If you need blood, there's nothing else. and like the there's nothing else can do the job. Like the substitute, they call the EPO. EPO, it's not blood, and it takes 21 days to do the job. And mm-hmm. it's good if you need 10% of blood, but not like Eloise. She had lost 80% of her blood. She was empty. She didn't have no more blood. So every single organ in her stopped running because there was no blood to make that run, make that worse.
Did they give her any fractions or volume expanders or some other substitute? I guess they must have. Do you know?
But it's not true. The watchtowers say that the substitute it's only for us because it's too expensive. It's not true. And like Eloise, she knew about that. She didn't knew it was true. It wasn't true. So even last 2 weeks ago, I had the next Jehovah Witness who tells me, yeah, but Eloise, she had a substitute. I said, no, she doesn't exist. It's not true. If you need blood, they can even don't take their own blood.
Yes, to use your own blood later.
Yeah,
so you can. What you're saying is, where the Watchtower Society says, oh, it's okay, you can have a substitute for blood and that will do the job, you're saying it won't do the job and it didn't do the job.
And
witnesses are being lied to by relying on that and thinking, oh, if I will be okay because I can use this substitute instead and it will work, and you're saying it won't work. It sounds like you've done a lot of research into this subject now. You know what you're talking about.
Oh yes, I saw I saw papers like somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness since 30 years never saw. I know I can't say everything because I'm not smarter than nobody, but since 19 months, I passed over 15, some days, 20 hours a day on that. I give more than 150 interviews.
Wow.
I made in January that pass on the TV show in April, I think, W5. Yeah, I made W5. I made McLean. It's seen by 3.5 million people a month. And we had three pages on that. I made every TV show it's possible. I have something big, very big goes on. I can say nothing about that, but I'm talking with somebody Tuesday. I'm working on that since a year. I made a petition with Madame Agnès Maltais, who's the chief of opposition. And I'm gonna send you the link if the people can go to sign. I'm not gonna stop until the law are not changed.
Manon, I was reading your article. Well, not your article, but the article where you're featured in CBC.
Yeah.
In the paper, because I was looking. I wanted to see a picture of Eloise and look at her while you were telling us about her. So I've been looking at her photo because you said she was such a beautiful person.
Yeah.
Not just beautiful outside, but smart. And I ask you about that because you've just mentioned the petition and what you're doing and all the people you've spoken to. So there's a couple of things. Can I read them out from the article and you can tell us a bit more about that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So it says, so there's been an investigation by the coroner's office to see if she refused a blood transfusion through an informed decision. And we already talked about whether it was an informed decision, whether she had the space to make a decision by herself.
Yeah.
Because there was some pressure. And she, as you said, she was a witness herself. But the issue is it seemed like heartless cruelty to let her decline over a seven-day period. And in this CBC article, it says that you want Quebec's civil code amended. So that's one thing that you've asked for the civil code to be amended.
Yeah,
you said we need to adjust our thinking on what constitutes free and informed consent. And you then mentioned she couldn't wait to meet her son. She was impatient, full of love for him. She wouldn't have accepted leaving him. You already said that she did not want to die, and, you know, she told that to her friend so that they were aware, the nurse was aware she didn't want to die. So you're most interested in getting the law changed. Can you tell us a bit about what you're doing in regards to that? That's what the petition's for, is it?
Yes, a part of it, because if you're going at the hospital and you need treatments or blood, or they have to give it to you. And when the doctor start to work, he's make, I don't know how to say in English, serment d'Hippocrate. It's like I'm gonna do everything I can to save life.
Yes, his Hippocratic oath. Yes, is what we say in English.
So yeah, it's true. Alors, so where is it? The serment, when you're watching a young lady, 26 year with a new baby, die. The doctor they are not able to do something because the watch tower gonna go after them. But what doesn't make sense? If you don't want a blood, but stay home and die home. Not bring, under 18 years, there's a law over here, it's okay, under 14, the doctor can give you blood without any permission. Between 14 and 18, you can decide a bit, but you have to decide in your interest. It has to be good for you. But after 18, they can do nothing about that. But if you're a Jehovah's Witness, if you're 25 or 30, you're brainwashed. So you don't have the good information. You can do the good choice. You have the wrong information. So even if you're 25, you're not allowed to take a decision to say, I don't want a blood because I'm going to rape everybody when I'm going out of the hospital. I like to have the substitute. Doesn't work like that.
Also, you are blackmailed. If Eloise had chosen to take blood, she would have lost her family. They would have stopped speaking to her. So
yeah,
that's
sure.
another reason why it's not a free choice, because you are being held to ransom by your family. Yeah. There will be a punishment if you choose blood and if she'd chosen to live with her baby.
Yeah, for sure. And we have to not forget her father is an elder. So He was losing every single privilege, every single, he was losing everything. So he can say, oh yeah, take blood. But how come, how he can look at her for 7 days dying. After she died, 10 minutes after, her father was, I don't know what to say, like punching a arm of her husband, and she said, don't worry, in 1,000 years she's gonna be with her baby.
So that's why you've got such a political urgency, Manon. You feel urgent to get this law changed. So yeah. In this article, so what it says here is the concerns have been taken up by two coalition Quebec ministers, I guess it is. It says MNAs. Is that ministers, political ministers?
Yeah.
And they were a parliamentary committee to look into this issue. So that's one thing that you're driving to happen, right?
Yeah, for sure. And even at the school, they don't want the children going to school too much because, you know why? Because they are going to wake up. Eloise, when before she had her baby, before her second wedding, she can lunch with her friend. Her father goes there and check if she was alone in the corner. It's crazy.
Yeah.
She came here to see her best movies was Twilight. She can watch that at home. To go at the school to do something in her life, but she can't. So the petition are for that too. Because in Quebec City, you have to go to the school until you're 16. But sometimes at 12, 13, they take off the school to make door to door. We don't want to see, I can say, in around me in Quebec City, but more than that, I make, I don't know how to say, a signet. I'm going to send you a model of Eloise, and I tell to the people to put there at their door. So the Jehovah Witness knows not to come, don't knock. Because, and in my team, I have a father who had a judgment at the court against her ex-wife because she is a Jehovah Witness and she bring their two children at door to door. And her daughter ending up with a old guy in the basement of a house.
Oh dear.
So she can be ripped.
Yeah. It's not safe, is what you're saying. Going to the door to door.
It's not safe because the door to door, they don't go with their own children. They change the children. So when you're 8, 7, 8 and you end up with a guy 60.
Yeah.
And he put, because over here there's a lawsuit for sexual abuse. One of them, a girl was abused. The guy put the candy in his pocket and he tells to the little girl, go get the candies. In his pant pocket. Doesn't make sense. So that's why to my petition, because everybody is the same in front of the law. But in the Jehovah Witness, they made, the rule of two witness. That doesn't make sense. It's illegal. You can do that. We have one law over here. That's it.
Yeah, so not only have you covered this blood issue that you want people to have a truly free, informed consent, but you also are concerned about the child sexual abuse that people have been reporting. And so that is also in your petition, is it? These yeah. two issues.
Yeah. And there's other thing over here when you have problem with children, we have a DPG. It's for protection of the children. But when it's a Jehovah Witness, you can go there. So the children are not safe in that cult.
So well, I agree with that.
The petition is for that. And I'm going to reach this week a lot of doctor to sign the petition because they can do nothing. They have the hands, I don't know how to say.
They have their hands tied.
Yeah, that's right. And even on the blood card, there's a little square. It's marked, anytime you can go see my medical record. So that's why they don't accept blood if sometimes one of them say, oh, okay, I'm going to take it and I'm not going to say to nobody. They can go in your record, on your record medical, yeah, to check.
So if we go back to Eloise and what you're trying to do there, just with regard to the blood issue, Manon, I know that the coroner is investigating her death. Yeah. And also, I think of the other lady that you said had died also the week before or the week after, something like that, because they're investigating their refusal of blood and if it met legal and medical standards. So that's one thing that's happening as well as your petition. And also, the police where she died are investigating her death because you lodged a complaint about the hospital liaison committee member. So
yes.
There's three things that you've put into place. Is there something else also? You mentioned you met with a lot of media and talked to them. You're going to send a message to the doctors. What else are you doing? Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm doing, like I said before, I'm working on something. I'm going to talk with somebody Tuesday. If it's work, it's going to be a big thing. And even like the TV show, W5, usually they have 700,000-800,000 people look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The one I made and Tricia and the other, they had 1.5 million people watch.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So
we watched that. Louise and I watched that W5 interview. Because we knew that the protest in Warwick in New York was covered by the CBC program. And we also recently had a podcast with Tricia, who you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us something about that at the time. So it's very good timing that you're working together and wrapping these things up together because it shows people, the public, don't understand this. And it shows them what's actually happening because Jehovah's Witnesses and ex-Jehovah's Witnesses listening to this understand, but you as a member of public probably didn't understand to the extent that you understand now what it's like. So it's very important that people like you, the general public, are telling the rest of the general public what is going on. It's really important. And you sharing this with us, then people can get behind what you're doing. They can support you.
Yeah, and like on my group, we are more than 26,000 people. And before the death of Eloise, me, I was same like everybody. I just know about Jehovah's Witness. They knock on your door Saturday morning. They don't let you sleeping, and they don't accept blood. That's all I knew.
But now
it's not like this. I can say everybody, but it's each time I'm going out, I go to the shopping center, I go anywhere. there is somebody to talk to me about Eloise. So everybody knows Eloise. So if they know Eloise, it's because I give a lot of interview. We had a lot of paper. We had in a big newspaper over here. We had in the Gazette, in the National Post. So now that the people knows about the Jehovah Witness, every week, sometimes every day, there's somewhere in the world a paper who talk about a Jehovah Witness. We talk about sexual abuse. And so is it very good? Is it very good? Because and with my group, I have each day, or maybe five times a day sometimes, people who said, thank you. I was for going there, but I didn't go. I was not sure about that, so I'm out of there. I was asking myself if it's okay, if it's right, if it's true. Now I know it's not true. I have lot of email and message privé who said thank you. I like I say, I can do nothing for Eloise. It's too late. If I knew some days before she was in life, for sure. But yeah. I can do nothing for her, but I can do a lot for a lot of
her
people.
Son.
Yeah.
For her son and the other children who don't get a choice, you can do a lot for them. And that's why we would like people to get behind you. There was something that Alexandra wrote in the article where she interviewed you, and she said, if you think about a blood transfusion as a symbol of life, and you're not allowed to take blood because of that being a symbol, if you think about that in terms of another analogy, like letting your spouse die in a fire, but you'll save the wedding ring. So the wedding ring is a symbol. Your spouse is a living person. So why would you honour one, so honour the symbol, but allow the other to die, the real person? And there was a YouTube clip, which I'm going to send to you after this, Manon. There's a YouTube clip done by someone called Kevin McFree, and he did a two-part episode about blood transfusion so that people, the general public, could understand how Jehovah's Witnesses think. So I'm going to send you that, but his series is called Dubtown. And it might be useful for you to send that on to the general public so they can actually understand this issue, why Jehovah's Witnesses don't take blood. Because, of course, for a public person, for a normal person, it just seems like madness, and it is madness. But when you grow up in it, it seems normal and you can accept it because, oh, yes, that's what I was always taught to believe. You're indoctrinated. So what you're doing now is you are inoculating the general public so that they don't fall into this trap. And that is so important.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, like you said, you just think they go from door to door and they don't take blood. But it's much worse than that. It's much more dangerous than that. It could mean that you die. It could mean that your children are abused or yourself are abused. As you said, she was also a victim of domestic violence, her first husband.
And there's a lot of domestic violence. There's a
Absolutely.
Lot.
Absolutely. And we had a podcast also about that.
Even the children in that, they are punched.
Yes.
I had a lot of message about that. The children are scared.
They are scared. I certainly grew up scared. I was scared morning, noon and night, and I couldn't wait to escape, and I still get nightmares sometimes, and I'm 46.
Yeah.
So it lasts with you a lifetime.
Yeah. Even the father who's with me, he had a judgment against his ex-wife. When the children was at his home, they sleep, I don't know what to say, they sleep habillé. They can put a pyjama on because the mother say if it's Armageddon, the end of the time, and you're at your father's home, you're going to be destroyed. But if you're with me, you're going to be okay. So the poor girl at 5, she was sleeping with her outfit on it because she wants to run. Armageddon
comes. So she was sleeping in her clothes.
Yes.
In case Armageddon came in the middle of the night because she was so frightened.
Yes.
Manon, I just want to thank you on behalf of everyone for the huge amount of work you've done and the research that you've put in and the work that you're doing with all your journalists to spread the word. And like Lara said, you're inoculating the general public, because lots of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses try to do this, but you've been incredibly successful in spreading your message on behalf of your niece. And I just think that's an amazing thing. Thank you so much for all that work. We are massively grateful to you.
Thank you. Thank you to you to help me and ask to the people, please go sign the petition. Because it's gonna end in at the 12th of June. Yes, and he end for the first time, because I don't wanna be smarter than I, but for the first time we can speak, we can say it's enough. It's too much. We're not let the thing goes. And it's the first time. It's like the coroner. It was the first time on a death of Jehovah Witness. Doesn't give something better, but because the coroner can say nothing, or the reason of the death. That's all his job. But it was the first time. Never happened on the Jehovah Witness. Like the petition, it's the first time we can say to the Watchtower, it's enough. It's enough. Now we don't accept that. It's finished for you.
And yes. Manon, how can people get behind you? They can sign the petition. What else can they do? How can they support you?
The people
Anybody listening, how can they help you? Apart from signing the petition, what else can they do to help?
Just talk about the Jehovah Witness. Just inform, just to check how they are a monster. The Watchtower is there only for her pocket, only for make money. And that's all. They don't give nothing about anybody.
So they can help by talking to people about the injustices they've seen and talking to people, not being quiet. Is that how they can help?
Yeah, that can help. And they can join me on my Facebook group. Is En Mémoire de Héloïse Dupuis. And like I said before, we are more than 26,000. So it's a lot of people, 26,000. And at least there's 25,000 knows now what is it. It's not just knock on the door the Saturday morning and no blood. They look, the people die. They kill people. It's not less than that.
It's murder in my mind. It's murder. In my mind, that's what it is. It's not right. And that's why we have to collect together, come together and tell people what's going on. Because Watchtower Victims Memorial Day is to celebrate these people's lives, but also come together and stop it from happening again. And you've said that. You don't want people's grandchildren, children, you know, nieces, nephews, cousins. You don't want anyone else to die.
Yeah,
and that's why we're talking to you today. And I'm looking at the photo again, Manon, and I want everybody to look at Eloise's photo. I want them to Google your name, Manon Boyer, and I want them to Google Eloise Depew, and I want them to look at her photo and ask themselves, what can they do to help? They can do the petition.
Yeah.
They can talk to their local police. They can talk to their neighbours.
Yes.
When they see her as witnesses, they can tell them, you know, that they've killed this woman.
Yes.
And with their policies. So there's much that they can do.
Yeah. And everybody can talk to the newspaper, to the TV show. We have to be a lot of people because alone I can do this battle. And I'm not doing that for me. I'm not gonna have nothing at the end of that. But I made that next week. It's going to be a Mother's Day. Eloise, she's not there. And I had the email from a lot of women. They are shunning by their mother, their sister. They don't see their family. How much people going to cry next week because of the Watchtower? And every all of the Watchtower are on sale. So because they're going to sell, they're going to take the money and they're going to take off one of these days. And for sure, they are not going to change blood doctrine, because if they change, they're going to admit it wasn't true. So they are not going to change, but we have to change, and we have to say it's enough. There's too much die. There's 50,000 people and more than that.
So we have to force them to change by trying to get the law changed, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mom, I really appreciate your time with us today. I know that you haven't been well this weekend as well, and so I'm doubly grateful that you were able to take this time out to spread your message even further, because you've obviously spoken to lots of people. So thank you so much for the time that you've given us. We're really grateful. And I think Lara always likes to choose a song for someone that we'll play when I put the podcast together. So Lara, do you have a song that you've chosen?
I love one, but it's in French. It's it's from Céline Dion. And it's à la dernière branche. It's you know, on the tree there's a branch. I don't know how to say. And in that she said, the wind of the fall gonna burst you. I don't know how to say. Gonna, you know, a rocking chair. In this song, she said the wind of the fall gonna rocking you this year.
And she sings it in French.
Yeah, and she, Eloise died 12th of October, and it was a fall. But I can try to think about that and find one in English. But this one of Céline Dion, it's like, you're not there anymore, but it's the wind gonna,
yes,
gonna rock you.
Right. Mm. Is this the song that makes you think of Eloise?
Everything makes me think about Eloise. Everything. Mm. Every day I saw her face on my computer. Every day I saw her on the my door. I didn't think I had a poster 16 by 20 of her. And Eloise was, always cute, and outfit are always specially. And it's hard to see because I'm gonna cry. I have the poster. She had a full house. She had a clothes. It's like a little blue. And the baby, when she is born, he had a hat, the same color of the clothes of Eloise. It's incredible.
Same color as her eyes. You said before they were blue eyes. Was his top the same color as her eyes?
Yes, the same color. And it's like last week I was a bit tired and like the thing doesn't go well like I wish. And I had an email, the thing I can speak for now, but I'm going to speak with somebody Tuesday. So I have to go in front and do this battle. And thank you very much, girls, especially Lara. You wake up very early this morning.
That's fine. I think it's practically midnight where you are, Louise. So Louise is really...
Me, it's going to be time for supper in half an hour.
Yeah.
And you just wake up. So thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
I can say thank you for the world because we do a great job, girls.
Yeah. It's a pleasure.
So I will try and find your Celine Dion song, but if I can't find it, Lara, give me a backup song.
Can I tell you, my sister, who's still a Jehovah's Witness, her favourite singer is Celine Dion. So it's got to be Celine. I'll hold my other one for another time. Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking the time out to speak to us today. We're really grateful. And thank you to everybody for listening to another JW Community Podcast.
Si tu crois que j'ai peur, c'est faux. Je donne des vacances à mon cœur, un peu de repos. Et si tu crois que j'ai tort, attends. Respire un peu le souffle d'or qui me pousse en avant. Et fais comme si j'avais pris la mer. J'ai sorti la grande voile, j'ai glissé sous le vent. Et comme si je quittais la terre, j'ai trouvé mon étoile, je l'ai suivi un instant.
Sous le vent, et si tu crois que c'est fini, jamais. C'est juste une pause, un répit après les dangers. Si tu crois que je t'oublie, écoute. Ouvre ton corps au vent de la nuit, ferme les yeux. Et fais comme si j'avais pris la mer. J'ai sorti la grande voile, j'ai glissé sous le vent. Si je quittais la terre, j'ai trouvé mon étoile, je l'ai suivi un instant.
Sous le vent, et si tu crois que c'est fini, jamais. C'est juste une pause, un répit après les dangers. Je